This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Ooh, yeah. 9:11 in the morning as we continue the final hour of the program today. Show number 590 live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. Steve Cochran at Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Textures and phone calls at 312-981-7200. You have an event coming up where you are going to be are you a witness in this trial?
I'm a juror on the, this is a mock trial. The Hellenic Museum sponsored this event last year.
It was a cool event.
Wonderfully attended, and we have actual attorneys and prosecutors and judges.
We got big shot attorneys involved. And is Devlantis involved in this?
Yeah, I think she's going to be, I don't know if she's a juror or she's going to be hosting, emceeing. So, but yeah, I was joking with Mr. Fitzgerald. I said, now, can we talk because I'm a juror? And we brought up jury tampering and it got sticky in the green room.
So already there's trouble with you two.
I'm losing my law license in about 10
minutes. Unbelievable. Right. Pat or Patrick?
Either one.
All right.
I'm going to call worse.
And what does your mom call you?
Pat.
Pat. Nice to see you, first off, and I appreciate you doing this. And I know it's not your favorite thing to do, but it's for the right reason because we want to talk about this event. This is a good event.
It's a great event. A good cause.
How do they approach you to say, do you want to do this? Because, you know, it's not like you're not busy.
There's two tactics they use. I'll lay them all out for the National Hellenic Museum. First, they have Judge Kokoris call. And if you know Judge Kokoris, he's a wonderful man of Greek ancestry. So when Judge Kokoris calls, you never want to say no, not because he's heavy-handed, but because he's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, they work through my friend Patrick Collins, whose wife's name is Helena of Greek ancestry. So he has no choice but to say yes. So they line Collins up first, then they approach you. And then Judge Kokoris follows up with a call, and you're in.
The trial of Antigone, Thursday, March 10th. Doors open at 6. Trial will start at 6:30. You going to prepare for this like you'd prepare for any trial?
Oh, we prepare with a little bit more humor. Not too much humor, but you like to have a little humor in the event, which is ordinarily not how you prepare for most trials. But Patrick Collins is my trial partner, and we'll be facing Dan Webb and Bob Clifford again. And so we'll work together.
And you won last time.
I forget. We won one. We lost one.
I think you won last time.
No.
Yeah, we lost last time at Orestes.
Yes. Oh, at Orestes you lost.
But we won on Socrates. And not that we're keeping score, but we bring it up every time the four of us talk.
Was that the people v. Socrates? What was it?
Yeah.
Yes. And please introduce, if you would.
Oh, sure. So Connie is the director.
President of Cultural Affairs.
Yeah. And she's threatened us if we put her on the air too much. But we want to make sure that we at least acknowledge that you're here. And thank you for
thank
doing
you.
This as well. Tickets
thank
are
you.
Still available, as are sponsorships. Is there a website you direct people to, or where do you want people to go?
Absolutely. NationalHellenicMuseum.org, and it's right there. You can't miss the trial page.
It's very cool. It's a really neat event. It's going to be at the Field Museum this year, so it's a big venue. It's really interesting. It's fun to watch all of you work. Well, I've seen you work, obviously, in previous cases, but it's fun to watch you work in kind of a fun setting like this.
Are you looking forward to it? Is there more pressure?
No, we're looking forward to it.
Good, it's been fun.
Connie Mutopoulos has run it for a couple of years now, and this is the first time we've moved to the big venue at the Field Museum.
And part of the reason is because of the demand. A lot of people show up for this.
Absolutely.
Evidently.
Right.
We had 1,000 people at the Socrates.
And I How have about to say, that?
Yeah. And we had a waiting list. And I have to tell you, Fitzgerald and Collins were the only, I've done this three times, they were the
yeah,
first
right
that got the audience to convict Socrates. So I was stunned. I even voted against Socrates.
I know, the audience gets to vote too, Steve.
Did you sleep well that night after you threw the book at Socrates?
I slept just fine.
Now, you normally get to, what is it, three strikes with a jury? How many strikes would you get in a normal jury trial? I'm just wondering how Andrea made the cut and actually is on the jury.
Well, you normally get a number of different strikes depending on the case, six or ten or whatever. We get no strikes in this case, and it was interesting. I do remember that when the first verdict came back, there was a run in favor of Socrates, and then it turned. And so it was it looked like we were going to get routed, and then it turned out we just barely won.
And this is not just for the Greek community. This is a great educational experience for everybody.
Right, students, families.
And fun and funny.
It is fun.
Yes.
Yeah. And I have to say that the result was almost similar to ancient Athens.
So that's right.
You're
see?
Up there with ancient Athenians.
We could check with Lyle Dean. He probably covered it.
I think he probably did, yeah.
Yeah, he may have been there. Well, it's good of you to do it. Give him the website one more time.
National Hellenic Museum. Fitzgerald.org.
All right. And Patrick Fitzgerald is here, private attorney now of one of the biggest firms in the city. How are you enjoying the new life?
It's different. I'm having fun. I like my partners. I travel a little too much, but no complaints. They're great to work with, work on some interesting stuff, and get home and see the kids.
You miss chasing bad guys?
You'll always miss chasing bad guys, but now that you can defend the innocent Antigone,
his hand there, didn't he?
Yeah.
The mess that we're in now is fairly legendary, but when we think about what you were able to accomplish for a period of time, do you have any sense of general optimism or indifference or pessimism about where we're headed?
Oh, I just think my general sense is there's a lot of folks at the U.S. Attorney's Office, and not just the U.S. Attorney's Office, there are colleagues in law enforcement, state and federal, who have long been working hard. In fact, Judge Bauer is one of the judges in this case, had been U.S. Attorney back in the 50s, and under Zach Farden and the teams at the various law enforcement agencies are charging ahead. So I think the folks that really, really matter in law enforcement have their head down or full steam ahead. But even when I was U.S. Attorney, I always thought a lot of it began with the public. And I think there's a lot that can happen when people sort of speak up and aren't reticent. And if they see something that they think is not right, that they raise their hand and say something. So I think we tend to put things in law enforcement's lap when sometimes as citizens we need to own it and sort of take a stand when people see things happening that shouldn't.
I think there's been a disservice to cops in this country, though. I mean, every population of any industry has good people and bad people. The vast majority of lawyers are great people, but the ones we write the jokes about are the bad people. And in the case of cops, the vast majority of cops are good people doing their job, but the image of cops now in this country, it's pretty tough.
Well, I think it's a tough issue because you're right. The large majority of law enforcement are honest, well-motivated, and put their lives on the line. There are bad apples out there. There always have been. And we can't ignore that and shouldn't in law enforcement. And at the same time, we can't brand everyone with the same stripe.
It's not fair.
Yeah.
I like how you say, too, speak up, even if you think something is wrong. I mean, that should go for everybody. That traces all the way back to, you know, the George Ryan case where somebody in the office noticed something irregular and spoke up, and you encourage that all the back then and now too.
Yeah, it was always frustrating. I'm sure Zach Farden and the folks there feel the same way now when someone is convicted and people say, yeah, what took you guys so long? I always knew that was going on. And then if you say to them, what did you do about it? They'll say nothing. And so I think we ought to respect the people in law enforcement who work hard, particularly the folks who wear badges and actually put their lives in jeopardy at times. But I think we can't sort of make an excuse for us doing nothing by saying we'll just wait for the FBI or the DEA to show up.
You know, but Andre makes a great point because that see something, say something thing is a big deal. And a lot of people, it's not that they don't want to get involved. They're afraid if they get involved, they're going to be dragged into something that they're not prepared to handle. And I'm not asking you to speak for the current U.S. attorney, but if I call the U.S. attorney's office and say, I don't know if something's going on here, but this is a little odd, and here's something you ought to make a phone call on, you're not going to come to my house and take my stuff or get my name, right?
That never happened before. It doesn't happen now.
Right. But I think it's important to address that to people so they know.
If there aren't people calling up saying there's something funny going on, then there's a lot that law enforcement will either not know or not be able to prove. And I've always said, you know, there are towns where people sort of, you know, shook you down and said you're not getting what you're entitled to unless you take care of me in some financial way or otherwise. People would scream bloody murder. And I think for all of us who get frustrated at times by some things that go on, they need to scream bloody murder before you can sort of complain about what's not done about it.
Even if it's an elected official.
Maybe more so.
Case in point.
Do we have more bad guys now, or do we have more coverage of bad guys so we know they're out there?
I have no idea.
But, I mean, distance of feel.
I don't know.
I'd like you to count them and get back to me is my point.
I think, look, we've always had problems. I think that one of the good things is when you start having people talk about it more, that's probably good. And many problems when people identify them, if people start reporting them more, the statistics go up. And you're hoping it's not because the crime's going up. You hope it's that the reporting's going up. And so I can't solve that riddle, but I do know that part of the answer is paying more attention to it and people speaking up and reporting it.
You know, we need more good people to be involved in the process at the exact time that people are turned off by the process. It's another problem we need to fix, and I'm not sure how to do it other than ask more good people to get in. I know you've been asked a million times. Knowing what you know about politics, would you ever run?
No, I have no intention.
You want to think about it?
No.
It's not the world you want to be involved in.
No, it's just, it's, look, I think one thing that is important for people like me who are not interested in politics, I don't say that because there's something wrong with politics. And I think if we brand people with a stripe as being involved in public office, in elective public office, is wrong, then we're going to knock some people out. It's just you're either suited to do it or not. And I have no interest in raising money or campaigning for anything. And so that's not for me. But I'm actually hoping that there are lots of people out there who are good people who are suited to do that. So I have no interest in politics, but I don't want that comment to mean that there's something wrong with people who do, because I think we need more people to be interested.
You prosecuted arguably the two highest profile cases in Illinois, perhaps, Governor Ryan and Governor Blagojevich. Do you still have people come up to you talking about those cases?
Sometimes, less and less. But I think, you know, in fairness, high-level prosecutions go back a long time in Illinois, and we forget, you know, there was another governor who was prosecuted, Governor Kerner, and there was the Gaylord cases, and there were lots of very serious corruption cases. So there's a long string of high-level prosecutions, and we probably remember the most recent ones more, but it'll continue.
That's an interesting question, though. When people meet you and recognize you, do they just thank you, or do they want to talk about stuff?
Mostly people sort of just say hi, and it depends on how I'm dressed. If I'm in a suit, they're more likely to recognize me. If I'm not,
they're wondering if you have an indictment that you're going to hand over. I need to talk to you.
But people give people space. So I've never. Sometimes people chat to you. Most people don't.
In the course of this amazing career that you've had, you get asked to do a lot of things because you become, I suppose the terms would be, unfortunately famous. You didn't get into this to be famous, but suddenly people do recognize you. You've been able to get back into a private life now where you can focus on your family. How old are your kids?
4 and 6.
Yeah, so they're a little on the young side, but at some point they're going to have some semblance of what they want to do with their life. What if they want to be in politics someday?
If they want to be in politics, then go for it and do it the right way.
You going to campaign for them?
Put the sign in his yard. Yeah.
If my sons 20 years from now want to get into politics, I would campaign for them. They're my sons.
Right, but it would really be okay if they chose another life. I'm sure
it'd be fine if they chose another life. But you know what? In all seriousness, I don't know what my children want to do. I just want
Not at 4 and 6, right? Sure.
Right. But I just want them to be happy. And if that was something they wanted to do, then that's great. And I hope there are other kids out there, fathers and mothers, whose sons will want to do that and do that in the right way.
What you're doing on the trial of Antigone on Thursday, March 10th, involves a fair amount of homework. When you go into a case and you look into it and you have to do the research, do you have a couple of people helping you out on Antigone? Because I'm guessing you don't remember your history any more than I do. You and I are about the same age.
I don't. The funny matter was, when it first came up, I started reading the materials Connie sent me, and I shot an email to my floor at my office at SCAD and said, "Is anyone or any background in classics?" And in 2 minutes, I had two young attorneys walk in who were Greek and classic majors, and I said, okay, have a seat, let's talk. So
so you got an Antigone briefing.
I got an Antigone briefing from two different attorneys in my office in about 5 minutes, and we'll sit down, Dan Webb and Bob Clifford and Patrick Collins and I will sit down and talk through it, and we like to have sort of a level playing field, so it's an interesting event. Of course, since I have a jury here, I have to say, you know, they'll recognize that Antigone's innocent. Maybe they'll call off the morning of March 10th. So you might want to check.
You're looking for a settlement.
The jury's disregarding that statement altogether. It's been thrown out. No, but Collins was your prosecuting partner. So do you guys get together? I mean, when you're doing something fun like this and kind of tell war stories.
Oh, we do. We'll probably have more of a laugh afterward because we're running around. But we'll find the time to talk beforehand and with Dan and Bob and sort of set ground rules. So we feel like it's a good healthy debate.
You're never going to write a book about all the stories you have, are you?
No.
What if I said please?
Still no.
That would be a bestseller for how long, Steve?
Ever.
Ever.
Forever. The Trial of Antigone is Thursday, March 10th at the Field Museum. It is a must-attend event, and you'll be able to see soon-to-be-jailed juror Andrea Darlis. Tickets are $100, and it's a wonderful cause, and we certainly hope you'll help. And if all of your cousins show up, they'd have it sold out immediately.
I think they might.
Again, the website to go to is?
National Hellenic Museum, and just click on this big image of Antigone and buy as many tickets as you can.
You don't want to sway this case. Do you have a sense of how it's going to go?
Well, if the defense wasn't here, I may have said something. But I am from, she is from my hometown, Thebes. I'm a Theban girl, so I'm, the fate of my city is in the hands of these, you know, two teams. So, you know, and it's, we're doomed either way because either the king's guilty or the princess Antigone is guilty.
It's a hot mess.
I know.
It's just a hot mess.
See, we take this seriously.
Yeah.
We take this seriously.
Did you ever get a chance, before I let you go, to meet Justice Scalia?
I had not. I've never. I've seen him. He was at the swearing-in, I think of Judge Philip. So I've seen him, but I've never personally met him.
You know, and opinions are what they're worth, but I hope for the sake of the country that we follow the Constitution regardless of your political party. Otherwise, why do we have it?
Sounds right. That's pretty non-controversial.
You know, you're really good because even when I gently lead you down a path, you still know where your brakes are. But listen, in all sincerity, I hope we can talk with regularity because even though, as I said, we're about the same age and I'm sure like me, you take greatest pride in being a dad, you're a good man. And what you did to protect the people of this state and this country is important. And I hope you pat yourself on the back occasionally in your quiet moments. Though it doesn't seem like it's part of your character, I look forward to your kids understanding the impact you've had.
Well, you're overly kind, and especially since I'm about to go out and tamper with more jurors.
He's looking for Devontae now.
Yeah, tell Anna she has to come in early. Yeah. Nice to see both of you. Website one last time.
NationalHellenicMuseum.org.
I want to sell those tickets for you.
And for the Irish folks out there, Hellenic is H-E-L-L-E-N-I-C.
There you go, right. Exactly.
Nice to you to help your people.
And it means Greek, by the way.
Yes, there you go. It's 9:27. We're back with more in a moment. The big story next on 720 WGN.